Tarlehurst End podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlehurst End weekend preview. It was all going so well for Reading against Bolton on Tuesday until a 92nd minute equaliser shattered our dreams of what would have been a huge win in the North West. Now, via a deadline day exodus, the Royals host Aston Villa as the fight for survival continues. My name is Ollie Allen, your host for today's show, and I'm pleased to say that I'm joined once again by the Working Papers' Tom Crocker. How's it going, Tom?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. I think we've just about recovered from another fairly busy deadline day, but yeah, luckily it's just all on focus on the games again now.
Indeed, a frantic transfer deadline day for Reading yesterday in terms of outgoings. Leandro Bacuna, David Myler and Mark McNulty all departing the club, either on permanent or loan deals. For a full in-depth discussion on all of the transfer business, please do go and watch the live show that Dan Wimbush, Mark Mayo and Becca White did over on the Tarlehurst End Facebook page yesterday evening. I think it should be going up on YouTube, at some point as well. So we won't touch on it too much in this show. I think we'll talk about some of the deals in the context of sort of the team selection in the third part of the show. But if you do want more discussion on the window as a whole, do head over to Facebook and to YouTube. It has been a busy few days, of course, for Reading, with that 1-1 draw as mentioned against Bolton happening on Tuesday. And we'll look at that one going into this Villa game. The Royals, of course, led through Nelson Oliveira's penalty on his debut for the club, before a real defensive calamity, really, allowed Jack Hobbs to score his first goal in 6 years to equalise at the death for Bolton. I mean, I said this after the game, Tom, but even though we did pick up a point away from home against a relegation rival, you know, we didn't lose, but mentally that will have felt like a defeat for those players.
Yeah, it's happened obviously a few times as well. I think was it Rotherham this season? Conceded one right at the end, and obviously they lost at home to Bolton as well. So that's 4 points Bolton have taken off Reading now, and they're still below them. So that shows a bit of a They should have really done a bit better there. I think hopefully mentally it's not going to be such a problem. I think. So the point was made yesterday, that's the first sort of late goal they've let in since Gomez has come in, so it's not really been a trend under him as such. But yeah, the fact that they just, again, haven't seen a game out is something that we've been speaking about for such a long time, and obviously that goal in particular, obviously, is, like you say, defensively, they let the cross come in too easily, and it's just another header last minute. They knew Bolton could be good at set pieces, and yet they still haven't been able to deal with it. So yeah, I think I'm not sure Bolton are any great shakes, and I think Reading should still have enough to finish above them, but it does feel like points dropped, especially when you concede in the last couple of minutes. But I guess on the flip side, they're now, I think it's only 1 point, aren't they, off Rotherham after the last round of results. So they can flip it on their head like that. And I suppose if they win on Saturday, it's 4 points from the week and they look at it a bit differently. But I think straight after the game, I think they would have been a bit disappointed. But I think they'll be able to shake it off, hopefully, ready for the weekend. I don't think, it, unless it keeps happening, it'll be particularly a mental thing under a new manager.
I think what worried me a little bit was watching it on a not-so-legal stream was that, you know, just how poor Bolton were, really, and how Reading just couldn't get the better of it, aside that really look as though they are certain to be playing in League One next season, and Reading may well join them. But, I mean, it will be interesting to see how they recover from that late equaliser. I mean, obviously, Jose Gomez is certainly very good at sort of selling a dream, and his press conferences to the fans and to the media, obviously his comment of, truth be told, I love Reading FC. A few days ago, I think, particularly tugged on a few heartstrings. So hopefully he'll be able to pick his players back up again in the same way. On a positive note, three new signings did make their debuts in the game against Bolton, in the shape of Emiliano Martinez in goal, Matt Miazga in defence, and of course Oliveira, striker and goal scorer up front. It did very much feel like a new look side, Tom. And obviously, I know we said we wouldn't talk too much about personnel until we pick up preferred lineups later on, but the transfer window does seem to have sort of injected a bit of life into the club, and hopefully, you know, that will show on Saturday back in front of a home crowd, which I believe will be the biggest attendance at the Mazdad so far this season.
Yeah, it sounds like it will be. Obviously the Villa end will be packed out as normal as well, so that'll help it. But I think before the window there wasn't too much optimism despite the managerial change. I think people just looked at the squad and it still weren't entirely convinced. I think I was feeling a similar way until the last week or so, really. I think bringing in Martinez and Oliveira is two massive signings. I think they needed a better keeper and a better striker, really. So, obviously, it's still really early days. Those two haven't played football season until Tuesday night. So, whether they can carry it on consistently will be another question. But just bringing in those new faces, and I think equally as important was to reduce the size of the squad, which up until yesterday didn't really look like it was going to happen. They brought in five, I think, similar sort of senior number players and moved out, but they've moved on a few more now, which I think that will just improve the whole mood around the place on a day-to-day basis. And they need a tighter squad to try and gain some sort of fighting spirit towards the end of the season. So I think that's just as important. And they've added in some real quality players who I think wouldn't... I think come the end of the season, they'll find clubs even easily in the Championship again. So I think they're players who are good enough to... Reading have done quite well to get hold of them, albeit on loan deals. But I think, should they stay up and should they all play well, I think they could end up keeping a couple of them as well. So the signings in particular, I think they're a massive boost. I think the fans are now much more confident despite that late goal the other night. I think they're seeing that they're playing much better. Like I say, the gulf between them and Bolton seem to be quite evident. So I think there's much more confidence about it. And there's still lots of games to go. There's plenty of time to make up these points. So it's 17 league games to go. I said yesterday that's half a season in some European leagues. So there's still an awful long way. And I think there's plenty of quality in that squad. We've said it before, but I think now with these new signings, it's just, like I say, injected a bit of life. And I think they'll pull away from trouble sooner rather than later, hopefully.
Very, very optimistic of you. Considering well, we're still in the relegation zone, but...
But like you say, they've picked up a few points in the last few weeks. Yeah. I think it's the way they're playing. I think it's going to only get better and better as it goes on. Obviously, they do need to get some wins, though, pretty soon. Otherwise, they will stay stuck down there. But it's only one point off Rotherham now, and I think they're good enough to get away from there.
Looking at Aston Villa then, who Reading drew 1-1 with, of course, back in August, thanks to Sam Baldock's late penalty. They're currently 10th in the Championship table, and 4 points off the playoffs. I mean, it always seems as if teams are in pretty bad form when they face Reading, but Villa are going through a bit of a rocky patch at the moment, with just 2 wins in 9 league games going into this one. They lost in the FA Cup as well, but they did beat Ipswich last weekend. You know, how much you can take from that, I'm not too sure, but they are the favourites for this one, though, 11-10, according to OddsChecker. Hashtag GamblerWare. Reading are 23-10, and the draw is 5-2. Would you put Villa as the favourites for this one then, Tom? Obviously, we'll talk a bit more about their squad in a minute, but is this game, you know, I think obviously after only drawing on Tuesday night, a game that Reading needs to be winning, or is it a point, you know, against what on paper would be, you know, a good side chase in the playoffs, not too bad a point?
Yeah, I don't think it's quite must win. Obviously, it was looked at that on Tuesday, but I don't think we're at a stage just yet where if they don't win a game, it's all doom and gloom. I think they've got to try and keep building on these performances, and I think the results will eventually come. Villa, yeah, you can see why they've been made favourites, especially from the outside looking in. They're up pushing towards the playoffs from Reading in the relegation zone, so it makes perfect sense from that point of view. But yeah, 2 wins in 10 in all competitions is far from a great record. I think Reading won this game last season as well, if I remember rightly.
Yep, 2-1.
Yeah, so there's no reason why they can't win it. I think obviously Villa have got a decent squad themselves, and that they'll come here thinking they, with the good fan base, and thinking they can do a job over us. So you'd probably say that until Reading do start winning games, these sort of games, Villa will still be the favourite for it. But there's, like I say, that so many games in this Championship is so similar. I think Reading have got more than enough to get at least a point. But yeah, I still think Villa will push up towards the playoffs towards the end of the season. Dean Smith's a good manager, and I'm sure he's got his transfer windows closed and got his squad in place. I think they'll pick up again, but hopefully after the weekend rather than on Saturday.
The bizarre thing about Villa is that they've scored the third most goals in the Championship. Only West Brom and Norwich have scored more. Villa scored 53 goals, this season. The majority of those coming from Tammy Abraham, who I think is the league's top scorer, with 19 goals in 23 games, which is a fantastic record, really. And obviously, he played in the Premier League last season with Swansea and couldn't quite cut it, but you would imagine that he is destined to play in a top flight one day. They've actually only failed to score in 2 games this season, so the chance of a clean sheet for Reading seem pretty unlikely. But on the other hand, though, Villa have actually conceded the third most in the league as well, only behind Ipswich and Rotherham, with 46 goals. So maybe we are guaranteed goals in this one. But so Villa obviously very strong going forward, but not so much at the back. And obviously that is perhaps why they've made 2 seemingly very good defensive additions on deadline day yesterday, in the shape of Tyrone Mings, who's arrived on loan from Bournemouth, and Frederick Gilbert on a permanent deal from SNK.
Yeah, I think he might have been loaned back out again, but the second guy. But yeah, Mings is a good signing at this level. Didn't quite work for him at Bournemouth through injury, really. But yeah, lots of clubs wanted Mings, and I think he'll slot right in. But yeah, Gomez pretty much said the same thing yesterday. They're so good going forward. They're so dangerous in terms of their pace and their ability to score from outside the box. He said that they've been missing Grealish through injury, so I'm not sure if he's back yet. He's missed quite a lot in the last few games, so hopefully he's, for Reading's sake, he's still not available. But yeah, they've got plenty going forwards, and like Gomez said, they're just going to... every team's got their weak point, and I think by that he clearly meant their defence. Like you say, they've only conceded... only two teams let in more than them, so I think there'll be plenty of chances and probably plenty of goals as well. And it's whether Reading can put the ball in the net. They seem to create quite a lot of chances recently, but nobody's been able to score it. So as long as Oliveira's in the team, I think they'll be a bit more confident of doing that. But yeah, I think there'll be plenty of goals. Should be a really exciting game, which warm the crowd up a bit, and it should be a I think Reading can fancy that they can get out this Villa defence. But like I say, a clean sheet, I don't really see a clean sheet either for Reading tomorrow.
I think Tyrone Mings actually might have been someone that would have been a good side for Reading. I think some people were looking for a left back, and Mings can play there. But yeah, I have just checked, Grealish has been sent back on loan to SM Khan, so that shows how much I know about Villa. But to find out from someone who does know a lot about Villa, that seamless link there, it is now time for the view from the town end, with my chat with a Villa fan.
The view from the town end. What do your opposition think?
View from the town end time now, and with Reading hosting Aston Villa on Saturday. This week I'm joined by Villa fan James Rushton from the 7500 to Holt blog. How's it going, James?
Oh, good, Ali. It's good to be back on. Good to be speaking all things Villa as we face each other once more. Indeed. On the weekend.
Indeed. I mean, I'm sorry to say, actually, but I think for both clubs, it's looking a lot worse than it was last time we spoke, to be honest with you. Obviously, we spoke before that game back in August, very early on in the season, and that game ended 1-1, and with Sam Baldock scoring a late penalty to get the draw for Reading. I mean, obviously, how has the season gone for you guys since then? Obviously, there's been a change of manager, which we'll move on to in just a minute, but that result back then in August saw you move up to fourth in the table. Now you're down in 10th and 4 points off the playoffs. Why is the drop-off?
I think key players have went in and out of form quite sporadically.
Okay.
There's been key injuries. I mean, we missed Jack Grealish, but also we've lost our goalkeeper, Orjan Nyland. So there's some movement at the back. Axel Tuanzebe, of course, has probably been our best centre-back all season, and he will be out for this match. He's been out since probably early December. So we lost a lot of good players at the same time. I think the Reading result earlier in the season was more reflective of our kind of yo-yo ability under Steve Bruce. Mm-hmm. And we haven't really moved away from that. I think we've got a really unbalanced squad, and we've got a great squad. I think most teams in the Championship will probably be jealous of a few of our players. Yeah. And probably the privilege we're in, but it's heavily unbalanced. I think we aren't able to play the way our new manager, Dean Smith, probably wants to. And we're caught out with the high line. But I think he's a man of his word. He's stubborn and he'll stick to his philosophy. So I think there's a few issues there. And maybe the season's a little bit of a write-off in the best possible way, of course. Okay. And we're not rooted to the bottom of the table like Ipswich. So there's still things to play for.
Yep.
But I think a write-off in the best possible way.
I mean, I was going to say, I mean, someone like Tammy Abraham, I think a lot of Championship clubs would look at a player like him and think he would be a key player in any of their sides. But I think just looking at the table, I think you've scored... probably the third or fourth amount of goals in the division, but also conceded quite a few as well. And we'll move on to that in a minute. But I was going to talk about that change of manager. Obviously, it was quite high profile. Steve Bruce being sacked after a run of one win in nine games back in October. Dean Smith, as you mentioned, poached from Brentford to replace him. Was that the right decision for you at the time? Is it working so far?
Absolutely, but I think it should have probably been made in the summer. So okay. We had a bit of time to better... make his squad.
Yeah,
he's still operating under Steve Bruce's squad. I think one of the biggest casualties of that was Yannick Bolasie, who didn't really see any future for him at Villa, because we're not going to sign him under this new philosophy we have. We're going to be looking for younger, cheaper, and probably better players. So we had a few casualties. It was probably the right decision to sack Steve Bruce and hire Dean Smith, but I think he has been a bit of a baptism of fire. We had a bit of buoyancy when the leash was taken off. Players like Grealish and Abraham could kind of do what they wanted attacking-wise, and press as a really decent front three, or front four, because Grealish would be playing as a number 10. But since we lost Grealish, we've lost a lot of balance in the side, and we haven't really found the correct formula until maybe extremely recently, talking the last game.
When we spoke back in August, you said the promotion was very much the aim, Phil. I went back and listened to the chat we had this afternoon, and I think you were actually quite confident of the promotion going into that Reading Villa game. Obviously, you mentioned a few minutes ago that you think the season might well be a write-off now, but why do you think the season might be sort of now not possible for promotion?
It seems that we depend so very much on individual performances, like Grealish, and when he's out, you know, for a sustained period of time, it looks like we don't have much to do. I mean, we've kind of found a sort of solution at the moment, and that's probably to rein our play in a bit and not play so much on the front foot. But I think it was a very reluctant move for Dean Smith to make. I think we was all confident of promotion at the start of the season. When Dean Smith joined, that really changed. I think we all wanted to give him a bit of time and build his squad. That kind of went out the window when he started winning so much games at the start of his reign. We thought the sky's the limit. And then we were humbled. I think it happens to all clubs. They get overconfident. I think it's pointless being a football fan if you're not going to overhype or get wound up by anything. If it was rational, yeah, I don't think we'd be watching it. So in terms of promotion, it's still there. I'm not going to kind of write it off, but we need to get our act together and start actually performing if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you may as well write it off if you're not serious about promotion, if you're not going to try and win these games or adapt to win these games. It's got to be a write-off and a rebuilding process again.
You mentioned Dean Smith trying to sort of build his squad there. What's the transfer window this month sort of look like for you? I mean, from the outside, it's looked pretty quiet, I think.
Yeah, we don't really know what we want. I think there was kind of... We definitely need a centre-back. Okay. And that's something we've pursued. We brought in Courtney Howes from Wolverhampton Wanderers on loan. Yep. He's played about 10 minutes of football for us so far. We went in for Chris Metham, who of course moved high in a decent transfer move to Bournemouth. And of course, he's going to turn us down because it's Bournemouth, Eddie Howe, and Premier League football. Villa actually offered more money, which I find unbelievable at this stage. But there you go. We're still looking for a centre-back. Whether we get one in before or eligible to play on Saturday is another kettle of fish. I think they're talking of Tyrone Mings, Ben Gibson, sake. And there was also talk. Fantastic. One of the best links today was the midfielder Nathaniel Chiloba from Watford.
Formerly of Reading on loan, actually.
Yeah, of course. And he's been around the block. He succeeded at Napoli and it didn't really cut it at Chelsea, but most players don't. Like Tammy Abraham isn't appearing for that Chelsea first team. And I think we're looking for these younger, hungrier players, not just so we can be the best team in the Championship and go up, but so we can be sensible and sell these players on for more money than we bought them for, and thus kind of fall in line with being a sustainable football club, which is what most teams in this league should be looking for.
Mm. Moving on to the weekend then, what did you make of Reading back in August? Have you seen much of us since then?
I haven't seen a great deal, unfortunately. I think that comes hand in hand with what's happened to you guys. And
yeah, for sure.
I think it's a real shame because I do believe that Reading should be fighting at least for a mid-table position. And it hasn't really gone that way. I thought Paul Clement would change it around, but it seemed that he was too stubborn and unwilling to rectify any mistakes he made. And I'm not sure what to make of the new bloke you've got in charge because, frankly, I don't know anything about him. I think you would be more well-versed to speak on him than I am. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say, oh, it's going to be positive or even negative because I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably the right move to have made because Paul Clement, it seemed very dour and negative under him. And I don't know if that was better than having Yapstam or not. I'm not too sure there. I mean, you'll have to fill me on that.
Yeah, I mean, it was all much for muchness, really. I think, obviously, Clement survived relegation at the back end of last season, but then wasn't really quite given the funds or sort of he wasn't quite sure who he wanted to bring in back in the summer. And that's really been in contrast actually to Jose Gomez's first window, you know, where actually I think all fans have been really, really impressed by the transfer business this month, bringing the likes of Nelson Oliveira in on loan, Lewis Baker in on loan, and Matt Miazga came in from Chelsea the other day as well. So hopefully, obviously, a few of them might make their debuts tonight. We're recording this on Tuesday evening. And so hopefully a few of those might make their debuts tonight against Bolton and be raring to go against Villa at the weekend. But as for yourselves, then, James, who should Reading fans look out for at the weekend? Who might be the key player for Villa?
We've got to look for John McGinn because Villa's midfield has been terrible. to say the least, since Jack Grealish went, because a lot of pressure, it's not on their ability. I'm not going to criticise the effort they put into games.
Yeah.
But without Grealish, there's a lot more focus on them. And I think players like McGinn, Glenn Whelan, Conor Hourihan, they're finding that they're getting double or triple marked out of a game, and there's a lot more pressures falling onto them. Mm. I think they're kind of learning how to cope. So that probably comes at the worst time for you guys, for them to learn this, because we got hammered 3-0 by Wigan when they were still really under fire. And that's probably the kind of result you guys will be looking for.
Yep.
But I think our midfield has adapted a bit more since that game. I'd like to think so. I'm not sure trips to Reading have been especially fruitful for us. I remember a good one that kind of reversed our away hoodoo when we first got relegated. But it's been a bit mixed for me. I mean, I'm probably talking rubbish now because I can't actually remember the last game we played at your ground. But
2-1 at the start of last season. We won 2-1. I think.
I watched that. Yep, and that was when we were calling for Steve Bruce's head before it changed around. But yeah, those things always turn out the same. The key player for us will be John McGinn because, as I said, our midfield has adapted. We've sat Whelan and Hourihan deeper, so McGinn can play as a 10 behind a striker and thrive. And I think he'd have probably had about 3 or 4 goals the other day if he actually had his shooting boots on, because he finds the right the lanes, the right avenues to run into, and he has got a decent shot on him when he wants to. So I think John McGinn, in absence of Jack Grealish, is a man you're going to have to watch out for if you're not watching out for Tammy Abraham, of course.
Finally then, James, how do you see the game panning out? Can I get a score prediction for Saturday from you?
I'd like to say we're going to win and we're going to reverse this kind of weird curse that's going on right now. And this, we're down in the doldrums a bit, which sounds ridiculous. You look at the position Reading in, and I think I'm speaking of utter blinded by privilege here to be up that table, as far up that table as we are, away from the relegation battle. But no, we are in a bit of a hoodoo at the moment with the way we play, because it seems some teams beat us, then, we win the game having played the exact same way. There's no improvement. It's the exact same way. I think 1-1. Will probably be the most realistic result in my mind, and I think that's what's going to happen.
As I say, we are recording this before Reading play Bolton on Tuesday night, so my feeling may well change and close to the weekend, but I think I'm going to say 2-2. I mean, you seem to score a fair few goals, obviously with the likes of Abraham and Jonathan Codger as well, but also concede quite a lot too. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think we are unable to defend a long ball over the top. Okay. And, not every team plays a long ball. I'm pretty certain there's teams in the lower half of the table that aren't playing the long ball, but it's always going to be situational. If you see a striker running into an avenue and you can ping it through to him, that's something that defeats us every single time. We are unable to defend it. I think we're going to be open because we like to really try and play on the front foot. And some people look at that on that as the right way, and some people see it as naive. That's wherever you fall on this footballing spectrum is what you'll think.
Well, I mean, as I say, obviously Nelson Oliveira likely to be Reading's new striker. Obviously, we haven't seen anything of him yet in a Reading shirt. So it'll be interesting to see whether Jose Gomez sort of changes his system to try and adapt Oliveira and potentially playing that over the top football to try and get the better of Villa. But my thanks then to you, James, for joining me on The View from the Town End again this season. All the best on Saturday and for the rest of the campaign.
No worries. Thanks for having me on, Ollie. I just wanted to bring something up. There's a bloke on your blog, Hunty Royal, who's doing a mental health and suicide awareness walk.
Indeed, Jeff.
From the Free Guineas pub, and that really caught my eye. So I hope Villa fans and Reading fans joining that, walking from that pub to the Mendaisky Stadium. It's something I've tried to support through, impotent retweets.
Yep.
So hopefully it can get a bit more of a platform on here.
Yeah, fantastic initiative there from Johnny Hunt. I think it's 10:30 a.m. from the Three Guineas pub, which is just outside Reading Station, walking in awareness of men's mental health and suicide prevention. So that's a fantastic cause. So Reading fans or Villa fans, indeed, thanks, James, for bringing that up. If you can get involved with that, it'd be fantastic to get a lot of people doing that walk to the stadium. But it's now time then for me and Tom to discuss Reading's team news ahead of the weekend and pick our preferred lineups for the game.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/The Tarlhurst End.
Welcome back to the Tarlhurst End weekend preview ahead of Reading versus Aston Villa this Saturday. Team news wise, Tom, obviously, as well as deadline day yesterday, Jose Gomez did hold a press conference at Hogwood ahead of the Villa game. Did he provide any insight into which players would and wouldn't be available for the weekend?
Not personally, but we got a sort of a medical report, which is a new addition. But yeah, so we've got a bit of an update on some of them. The, I suppose the one most people will be wanting to know about is Oliveira, who had a sort of a minor muscular problem. I think he was due to have an assessment yesterday, but they're hopeful he's going to be fine for Saturday. Gomez said he's getting better every day, so he's hoping by Saturday he'll be fine to go again. The other ones, really, all the sort of same as before. Yacola missed on Tuesday with an Achilles injury, so he's out now, so Walker will be again on the bench. The other ones, Bulldog, significant thigh injury is the wording, and Gomez said he's expecting him to be out for at least 2 more months, so we can't really count on him for quite a while. And then the other couple of longer term ones, Abita's due to have his operation, third operation next week on his knee, and then Saeed Zaatalai ongoing, some sort of quad hip problem. It's not close, I think they're saying at least a month again for him. So yeah, still it's the injury list is getting a bit smaller. Richards, McShane, John O'Shea are all training as normal, so there's a few more options at the back, which could come into play this weekend. And then I think the only other one is Bodvarsson missed the other day because his partner was having a baby, so I think he was carrying a small knock as well, but I think he's perfectly fit to play at the weekend, so he could well be involved. I think that's pretty much everyone.
What would your chosen lineup be? And obviously, I'm sure both of our starting 11s actually would have changed a fair bit from when we last did this ahead of the Derby game 2 weeks ago, obviously, with all the new signings.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of them have moved on as well. But yeah, so I'd obviously stick with Martinez in goal. Back four, I know Gunter came in on Tuesday, but I'd switch Yedon back over to right back. Play Blackett at left back, even though he's been a bit out of favour, it looks like. And then have Moore and Miazga in the middle. And then central midfield, obviously Bakuna's gone now, so I'd have Frinomoto and I'd have Lewis Baker alongside him, and then in front of them Aluko again on the right as he played at Bolton, Swift and Barrow, and then presuming he's fit, Oliveira up front.
My team is very similar, that the same goalkeeper in back four. I think Tyler Blackett, I'd agree, does need to come back in at left back just for balancing the side. And I think, to be honest, I think Chris Gunter's days at Reading may well be numbered, and we could see him move on in the summer. Obviously, you know, he didn't have the best game on Tuesday night and not played much under Jose Gomez. But in midfield, I've gone with Rinomota and John Swift in that holding role. Obviously, Swift dropped back there midway through the second half against Bolton. My sort of thinking behind that is sort of to allow Sonny Aluko to play the central role behind the strikers. I think that's probably his best position. I think I'm not sure I ever thought I'd be moving players around to accommodate Sonny Aluko into the side. But here we are. On the wing, I've gone with Mo Barrow and Gareth McCleary, who obviously came off the bench on Tuesday and won the penalty. Debatable or not, but McCleary himself seemed to think it was Stonewall. But and then obviously Nelson Oliveira, if he's fit, I'd agree, up front. We'll begin talking about the strikers then, Tom, obviously, because where does Oliveira's arrival sort of leave the other forwards at the club? Obviously, Oliveira scored on his debut, and we've both picked him again this weekend if he's fit. And he is very much expected to be first choice between now and the end of the season. I'm not too sure if there's a deal in place to sign him on a permanent deal in the summer. But obviously, Martin Minolti's gone to Hibs yesterday, but Yaku Meite's move, or rumoured move to Amiens in France, fell through. And obviously, Daniel Bovarsson does seem a bit out of favour as well. And Danny Loder isn't getting as many chances as he was.
Yeah, I think it's, like you say, it nearly left Meite out of the club completely. I think he's hasn't quite fit into the system. He's been carrying that injury for a little while as well, trying to play through it, and that probably hasn't helped him really in the long run. But he's here now. I'm sure he'll play his part between now and the end of the season. But Oliveira has come in and will be first choice. Like I say, Bodvarsson has had his injury problems as well. I think he's still got a big role to play between now and the end of the season as well, even if it is more as an impact sub. And then, yeah, Danny Loder, I think Gomez likes him. Obviously, there was some calls for maybe to loan him out, but he's very much still here and still part of the plans, and he's probably going to have to make an impact from the bench. Obviously, he still hasn't scored a goal yet, so it's hard to imagine him coming back in to start. I mean, if Oliveira's injured tomorrow, possibly he could get a game, but I think it's going to be more down to him to come and make an impact off the bench. I think they'll all get minutes, they'll all get games, but Oliveira's very much going to be number one, I think, and Meite possibly will play more from the wing now with Bodvarsson as the sort of the second backup striker. But yeah, they're still pretty good options, aren't they, for Gomez to play with if he needs to. If Oliveira's out, it's not going to be a a massive disaster. Bob Arson, we know, can still very much do a job, and he played pretty well against Forest when they won at home. So, yeah, there's plenty of good options there, and I say they'll all play some sort of part now they're still here after the window's shut. And, yeah, hopefully Oliveira can continue on from how he left off on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I think you only need to look at the reaction of sort of fans of the clubs around Reading when they signed Nelson Oliveira, and certainly a quality of player that those clubs might not be able to get themselves. But obviously, I think with all four of them, you know, if they are fit, whether all four of them make the match day 18, I think it's probably doubtful. I think obviously Mato could potentially move back over onto the wing because he doesn't quite fit this system under Jose Gomez. But that would be interesting to see, obviously, his mentality as well. We don't know how close his move to back to France came yesterday, but it would be interesting to see if he can work his way back into the team. The one difference in our lineups does come in midfield, where you went with Lewis Baker, Tom, and I went with Gareth McClear. And I think really those decisions were sort of based around the departure of Leandro Bacuna, who of course joined Cardiff yesterday for what was rumoured to be around £3 million. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion really as to sort of who will fill Bakuna's position alongside Rinomota in that holding role, because aside from those games that he missed through suspension over Christmas, Bakuna's virtually been a mainstay in this Reading side. I think he's probably in the top five for minutes played for Reading so far this season. So certainly, you know, sort of a gap to fill. But in terms of options to replace him, obviously, as I said, you've gone with Lewis Baker, and I went with John Swift in there to allow Luca to play more central. And obviously, Liam Kelly may well be an option too after his move away from Reading failed to materialise yesterday, and while Saeed Ezetalahi is still a few weeks away from injury.
Yeah, I think when Baker and Ajari first arrived, something Gomez said was they can basically play in any of the positions in central midfield. So I think in his mind, when they both came in, they sort of jumped up to the above Liam Kelly in the pecking order for one, and then obviously Bakuna, they were happy to move on for that fee. So I think they're more than happy with the options they've got in there. There's plenty of players who can fill that role, but it is a bit of a worry, the Bakuna situation. I think that's the him and Ilori leaving, that they're good. I think they're pretty good fees, but that could be, on paper it's been a good window, but if those replacements that come in aren't up to scratch, then it will suddenly look like a bit of a bit of an oversight maybe to let them go, because Bakuna is an interesting one to replace. Like you say, there's no real like for like that you can see immediately, so they might have to change the way they're playing a little bit. But I think Baker, he's coming alone, he's going to want to play games. I think Gomez is going to give him games, and I think this could be a good opportunity for him to get in the team alongside Rinomota. Should be a decent balance. And yeah, like you mentioned, Kelly there, Gomez wanted him to go out on loan and come back in the summer, but he said if he stays he'll be perfectly happy, and he'll give him some chances, but he can't promise he'll play every game, so he'll get a chance at some point. But I think having brought Baker in on loan, you need to give him a bit of an opportunity. I think with Bakuna gone, it frees up a bit of a gap that maybe he can plug from the start and see how he gets on in there. He did okay when he made his home debut before off the bench, so yeah, for me I'd put him in there and sort of leave the front four as it is. And yeah, I think Swift has been playing pretty well in more advanced position. Obviously, Luko is a bit of a dilemma where to play him. But yeah, I think there's good options in that central midfield, despite Bakuna going. But maybe all of them aren't quite like for like.
I think what we've heard from fans of clubs that Lewis Baker has been at in the past is that he plays his best football when he is getting regular minutes and doesn't quite perform to high standards when he's sort of getting minutes here and there. I think Liam Kelly's only appearance so far under Gomez was the United Cup game. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, whether now that he is, you know, sort of confirmed here until the end of the season, whether he gets more games. And what I find interesting actually from Bakuna's first interview with Cardiff was that he said he'd known of Cardiff's interest for a couple of weeks. So, you know, whether that is true or whether that's just sort of the classic thing that a new player says when they're signed for a club. But, you know, if that is true, you know, Gomez was obviously content with, you know, not lining up a replacement for Bakuna. Obviously sees perhaps Baker as that short-term replacement, at least until the summer. A quick point on the goalkeepers as well, obviously, because one man who wasn't able to find a move away from Reading on deadline day yesterday was Vito Mignone. Do you know if there's any reason for that, Tom? Obviously, Emiliano Martinez has come in, and we presume to be the number one goalkeeper. I mean, he did look a bit shaky, actually, with the ball at his feet against Bolton. Obviously, Anthony Akoli himself is currently injured. And then there's Sam Walker as well, who was on the bench on Tuesday. I mean, that's four senior goalkeepers at the club, you know, which you could even argue is potentially, you know, too many.
Yeah, I mean, I think possibly the severity of Yukaira's injury might have been why possibly Walker stayed around. I don't think Manone is close to being involved in the first team squad, even with Yukaira being out. So it's certainly an interesting one. Clearly, if he could have found a club, I think he would have moved on, because it's been made pretty clear that he's not part of the plans. So, possibly that they might revise that if now the window's shut. But I know there's some sort of rumour going around that maybe he's sort of going to leave as contractor or whatever, but I don't think there's any truth in that at the moment, as I understand it. So he's here, and the other three senior keepers, like I say, are all still here, which is a lot of keepers to be carrying around on the books. So I think Manone, I think he's got another year on his deal after this. So in the summer, he's going to probably have to look to move on again, presuming everything is still as it is in terms of management and what have you here. So I think, yeah, it was a bit of a surprise that he didn't move on. I think obviously he's probably on decent wages, which might have put a few clubs off possibly, but you would have maybe thought they could try and work a loan deal like they have done with Milo at Minolti. But yeah, I think it's just not easy to just ship players out as perhaps we wanted to. There's some players just you can't agree a deal with everyone, and perhaps there wasn't a club for wanted to come in and loan a goalkeeper maybe. So yeah, he's still here for now, and there's a couple of the other options maybe in the next few months that he could take, but right now he's still part of the, well, not part of the squad, but part of the club anyway, and it's going to sort of roll on for a few more weeks, I think, until possibly even all the way till the summer when they'll reassess it again. But yeah, having four keepers is far from an ideal situation, I think. But like I say, with Yukaira out, it's pretty much just Martinez and Walker as the senior two at the moment who are going to be, I think, involved on match days.
Yeah, I think Mark made a good point on the Deadline Day show on Facebook yesterday, actually, that it's not often the clubs are in the market for a goalkeeper in January. Obviously, Reading bought one in Martinez, but not so many clubs are sort of interested in signing a new goalkeeper midway through the season. That's potentially why it was difficult to let Manone go. Prediction time then for this one. Obviously, we were both denied points in the prediction league by that late goal on Tuesday night, Tom. I was denied a correct 1-0 scoreline. But what are you going to go for against Aston Villa?
I think, like we touched on earlier, I do sense a few goals. I think it is going to be a really good game. So yeah, hopefully it doesn't just peter out now. But I think it is going to be an entertaining one. I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw, actually. I think Villa are, obviously they're still a quality side in this league, but I think Reading have maybe turned a bit of a corner, turn of performance, and can pick up something. So yeah, I'll go for a 2-2 draw, which I think wouldn't be the worst result either.
That's actually exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Same thinking as you. I'm counting on there being, Villa conceding a lot and scoring a lot, and Reading not being so good at keeping clean sheets, and hopefully Oliveira fit bags a goal. And obviously, I'm saying now it'll probably be 0-0 now, but I think just give me Nelson Oliveira a goal and I'll be happy, because he must have scored two or three goals at Mazdad now, so it'll be nice to see him score and one in the blue and white hoops for once.
Yeah, and Martinez let in five last time he played at the Mazdad, so yeah, he's promised he won't do that again. So and he's also promised he's very good with the ball at his feet, so hopefully there'll be no calamities and they lose 5-0. But yeah, it's like you say, Oliveira is I think a really good signing, and fingers crossed this injury isn't too serious, because if it is, I think that'll be a massive, massive blow to everyone's confidence-wise if they have to then go back to how it was before. I think that putting the ball in the net's been the biggest problem, and he seems to be like the potential answer. So yeah, look, I think everyone's looking forward to seeing him, and sort of it feels like it's been quite a while since they last played at Medeski. It's going to be a pretty new-look lineup, really. So yeah, the excitement is certainly high considering the position they're in the league, and yep, they can pick up another point. I think that could be enough to move them out the bottom three. I think Rimmel will play in Rotherham, aren't they, this weekend as well, so not too sure what we want there, but yeah, I think everyone's fairly positive again going into a home game, which has been a rarity the last couple of years.
The Jose Gomez effect.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Sort of salesman technique, and that's what it's down to. But hopefully Mark Mayer will have a Nelson Oliveira goal and a Reading win, and a clean sheet, hopefully, as well, to look back on the main show, that should be in your podcast feeds either on Sunday or early next week. So look out for that one. Following that, myself and Tom will be back here on the weekend preview podcast this time next week to look ahead to Reading's visit to Sheffield Wednesday in what will be Steve Bruce's first home game in charge of the Owls. Up on the website at the moment, thetarlesden.com, there's all of our coverage from Transfer Deadline Day on all of the confirmed moves, and a couple of opinion pieces as well, I think, including one that should go up today on Friday. I don't think it's up yet, but it should be up at some point, from Tarlesden editor Simeon Pickup, on sort of the winners and losers at Reading from the January transfer window. On a similar note, Tom, what can we look forward to on the working paper in the next week or so?
Yeah, so like you say, there's similar to you, sort of the deadline day, what happened and what didn't happen, if you like. And then we've also spoke with, like I say, there was a normal press conference, which sort of got forgotten about a little bit yesterday, so that'll get pushed a bit more today from Gomez, and we spoke with Emi Martinez as well, so good stuff from those two will be up. And then, yeah, the game, obviously, tomorrow, weather permitting. I think, as far as I'm aware at the moment, it's all fine and set to carry on as normal, so yeah, that'll be tomorrow on the website, and then, yeah, like I say, back here next Thursday, so that's on wokenham.today and at Tom J. Crocker on Twitter.
Fantastic stuff. Yeah, I think obviously that press conference did go a little bit under the radar yesterday because of deadline day, but there was some really interesting stuff actually from Gomez. He seems to be very open and honest in his interviews. But yeah, so go and check that out over on Twitter and on the Wokingham paper. All for me to say then, Tom, is thank you very much for joining me on the Tyler Stem Weekend Preview as ever this week.
No problem. Thanks, Ollie.
And as always, a big thank you to you at home as well for listening. Get down to the Manstad on Saturday, back this new look team. And hopefully we'll get the 3 points to take us out of the relegation zone. Come on, you Ars.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.